Blog Talk Radio.
History is a clock that people use to tell their political and cultural time of day. It is also a compass that people use to find themselves on the map of human geography. History tells of people where they have been and what they have been, where they are and what they are. Most important, history tells a people where they still must go, what they still must be. The relationship of history to the people is the same as the relationship of a mother to her child.
Ready or not, Watch our beliefs, and when they carve my name inside the concrete, I pray it forever.
Welcome to Black Sister Talk, where you can breathe, a community therapy platform breaking the stigma on mental health in ourselves, families, and communities one conversation at a time. With host LaWanda Chambers, licensed professional counselor, a.k.a. your therapist's favorite therapist, putting care back into you and the community. Black Sister Talk is an affiliate of the Black Reality Think Tank Radio Network and is broadcasted on the Blog Talk Radio platform.
Happy Saturday, everyone, and thank you for joining us on Black Sister Talk, where you can breathe, the community therapy platform. I am Ms. Sanders, your therapist's favorite therapist, giving you yet another unfiltered, candid conversation. I am so happy to be here with you guys to have part two of the discussion from last week. As I reflected on that conversation, I recognized many ways that I wanted to help. However, after sitting down and writing things out, I realized I put the cart before the horse. In the sense that I assumed I understood the problem. I have an idea of what the issues are, but I do not want to come off as demanding, accusatory, or like I have all the answers. I believe that we are able to have real conversations that yield real results when we identify the stakeholders involved. This is what ignited the conversation between Viola and I after the show, which furthered our agenda to complete Amid's assassinate. We'll talk about that in a little bit. But in addition to that, I was able to reflect on my community psychology values, which support empowering others and understanding the role I may play in empowering those who are at a disadvantage. With that being said, I will continue to identify the source, build relationships, and collaborate with those in the community to create solutions that are realistic and applicable to building a sustainable quality of life. This for me today means seeing something and saying something. As a mental health professional, I hear a lot, and I provide a lot of space for people to be themselves and discuss their truth.
However, that's not me out. Am I able to be in a position
to at least get some help?
I want to stop asking people who don't know. I want to respect because I know what it
looks like to live in a household as a child where things are happening, but no one is getting help.
I want to reach you.
I want you to know if you are in need of help,
people are here
to give it. Just imagine knocking on someone's door, telling them, I want to get to know you better, and
how that is so different from what they have experienced from the very most contended
for themselves. So at this point, if someone is willing to entertain the conversation,
I wonder how that would
be received. In an effort to find out,
this means I'll be
knocking on some doors and getting to know some people and finding out one house at a time what the needs are.
I am going to need help. I am going to need so much
help. Because I know I'm not able to do this by myself, but I know I have a heart as big as the world. And so I hope those who have a heart as big as mine and are hearing this right now or hear this in the future are able to reach out and connect and let me know in what ways you want to be a part of this mission.
It's so important that we
remove ourselves from being in silos and learn how to collaborate and see how we can support one another in our efforts to grow in the community. And so
if anyone is listening
right now and it's very serious about this and very passionate about this like I am, I want you to take down this number. The number is 414 775-2677. Again, that number is 414-775-2677. Now, if you want to email, you can go ahead and email us at blacksistertalk@gmail.com. That's blacksistertalk@gmail.com. That's blacksistertalk@gmail.com. And I'll give that information again later on towards the end of the show. I decided to share that with you guys now because it just makes sense. This is the information that I want to get out, and I want to make sure that you all are able to engage with us and show your support. Being there right now is showing your support, and we need that. So this is very, very important to me to put care back into the community. And one way that we do that is by showing up. And so, yes, I am going to need your help so that we can gain the trust and provide people with a safe space to feel cared for. And with that comes consistency, something a lot of people may not have experienced. Feeling cared for is something a lot may have not experienced. Things that we may take for granted that we are getting, a lot have not experienced.
So the things that I'm
asking for some may be on a very basic level, but it's so important. This, again, is so important to me because I have experienced these same things in my own home growing up as a child. Not only that, that's what drove me to this field and
what
I'm doing, because I am aware of how the unknown still show up and haunt us, and how we have to address the mental health that is in our communities. Working on the front lines has shown me each and every day how important it is to be the change that I want to see. I'm so passionate about this because the stigma around mental health has become so volatile that when we see it, we call it something different.
My upbringing in
Chicago helped me to recognize that this issue is widespread, and although we are currently experiencing the COVID-19 pandemic,
the mental health
pandemic has been the most cunning ploy to the continuation of generational deprivation to building unhealthy communities, unhealthy people, and unhealthy families. I say all of that to say it is okay to ask for help, and that this is a community issue now.
The
level of unlearning that needs to be done and the resources that will need to be involved. The unlearning that has to be done is at an all-time high, and the healing that has to occur will not be easy, but it's so necessary for us all.
Today, I want to focus
on educating people about making a change, addressing barriers that keep our communities deprived. I want to invite people to join the grassroots efforts. And I also want to hear from our listeners about ways they want to change their communities and what steps they have taken in hope that it can help someone else.
How y'all doing today?
On the line, how y'all feeling? I'm opening up everybody lines. If anyone is in an area where it is loud, I'm going to ask that you go ahead and find yourself a safe space to be in. I want everyone to hear your voice. Your voice is very important, and what you have to say is very important to me and the other listeners who want to hear you. So if you have any noise or anything that is distracting, I just want you to go ahead and take this time to find a safe space for this conversation. So, without any further ado, how y'all feeling about that? Do you guys agree with this call to action that I am setting forth? And are you guys supporting this mission, or how do you see what I am presenting? Can you guys hear me? Okay. Well, if somebody says something, I'm going to go ahead and continue on with the discussion.
Because what we see
every day, I mean, every day we look on the news and we see crime, we see something that's disheartening, and we look at these things and we're like, okay, this is what's happening. Oh, same soup reheated. And keep moving and keep moving. We have come to a place where we are so numb to what is going on around us that it doesn't bother us anymore.
We didn't even see that as a problem.
Hello?
Hello?
Hey, this is Leola. How's everybody?
Hey, Lily.
How's everybody doing this afternoon? For me, I'm coming in at a point where it's like we hear so much about mental illness, the effect of mental illness. We haven't really covered the direct cause of mental illness, or is there a cause? You know, how are people looking at this? Are they manipulating mental illness? You know, there is a stigma behind it, but mainly for me, I focus on the trauma. Is there more trauma than there is mental illness, or are we addressing the wrong things in a different order? Should we first direct the trauma to see if that's a trigger for mental illness, or if there's a biological effect about the mental illness that a person has? You know, a lot of times we're given these diagnoses. It could be something that's passing, something that could be dealt with, but we just learn to accept whatever someone else tells us. See, for me, growing up and having to live with certain things, certain traumas, and I might feel a certain way, I might be depressed about my past. I might be depressed about my history. I might be depressed about a lot of things. I might have flashbacks about different things that has occurred with me in my family, being in a cotton field. Does that make me mentally ill? Or does that make me a person who's just tired of hearing certain things about certain things that people don't want to change within themselves? Because we can talk all day, but what are individuals doing about it? Are they just taking the prescribed drugs that is given to them, or are they actually trying to do the research to find out what is the cause and the effect, and how can I change what I don't like about myself and how I feel? Okay. Now, have we touched on that, or is it the trauma that I reflect back to that make me feel all of these things? You know, do we ask people to challenge themselves? You know, or we, you know, that's just my question. Because, you know, for me, just to be honest with you, white folks put it out there like that, yeah, you're mentally ill and you can get this $600 a month check and you ain't got to do nothing else for the rest of your life. That is BS. Because when I recall, and as I recall, therapy wasn't really for black folks. Because their job was to go back and get some strength. You're lazy-minded. You're lazy thinkers. Go out and work. There's nothing wrong with you. So what is it? What are we trying to address? And what do we want to change? And We keep talking about things that don't move the needle, and everything remains the same. That's my spiel. Sorry it took so long, but that's where I'm
at. No need to apologize. No need to apologize, Lily, and definitely a valid point to be brought up because, you know, culturally, a lot of the times when we're looking at mental health and we're looking at bigger issues such as, you know, being a slave and picking cotton, those things nobody wanted to do because nobody signed up to get on the boat to come over here in the first place. I mean, the fact that you are being forced to do things against your own will has some psychological trauma. So, yes, we are looking at the trauma, and we also looking at an issue that I would say, which one came first, the chicken or the egg? Like, it's an exception of things that come to this mental health, and it's an exception of learned helplessness, and it's an exception of situational factors. And you're right. Some of the times medication is not the go-to thing. Sometimes it's a crutch, and it depends on how honest one is being when they're coming into these offices to get this help. And the other part of it is, are you going to be honest about what you really need, or are you going to come in and say what you want to say to get what you want? How many people want to help? I mean, we have people. I got somebody right now who refuses to take medication, but medication could do a lot of wonders for this person because I've seen them on medication, and they have done great. They were focused, and they were a part of something. They were actually having regular moods and interacting and engaging with people, whereas now I'm very angry, I'm upset, I'm irate, I'm irrational, I'm delusional. I'm confused. I don't know what time it is, or what day it is. And we talking about 1984 and we in 2021. We can't go back to 1984 and change that. So I agree with you in the sense of saying, how do we take responsibility, or how do we allow those people who are quote unquote mentally ill? How is it that we have a system that's set up to say, well, if this person doesn't sign themselves in to get the care that they need, then we can't help them? So, yes, you're right. This system was not set up for us. This system was not set up to help. And it's so important that people like you and I and other African-American professionals who understand what the problem really is, because we sit in it and we come from the problem, we need to work to come with the solutions to help our people. And so if somebody white was to come and knock on these people's doors with these kinds of questions, it would be very peculiar and scary for a lot of people in our community. But if a person like you and I, who really understand and really care, knock on these doors and really try to have a heart-to-heart with these people, you know, sometimes you have to call them out on those very things you just spoke of, because that is the case for some of them. But for some of them, that's just not their situation. So it's going to take a person who has absolutely every bit of book smart, along with some street smarts, to address some of these issues, because these issues run way deeper than what has ever been written in a book. Because that book wasn't written for us. It wasn't written by us, and nobody talked to one of us
in the beginning. And so
I say all that to say that we should have been sitting at the table. We should have been making some things happen, but because of the way things are set up, that's not what they want to see happening, because it's about money.
Now,
that's not enough to say about that. You go ahead and chime in, but that's where my position is on it, and I think you're absolutely right. How do we take responsibility for the things that are or were misfortunate? How do we move on? And how about, again, unlearning some things? When you're told you're dumb and stupid and you ain't going to be nothing, and every word that you hear in relation to yourself is negative, now you've formed a core belief that this is the end all be all. So whatever their core belief was, it was formed a long time ago, or whenever it was formed, it stuck with you. And that was the ripple in your life that went ahead and set up every other decision you would make or not make. So, yeah, that's your responsibility. And also understand that it's okay for you to make mistakes.
Did you learn from them? You know, we make
mistakes, but we have to learn from them, and we have to do things in a way where we're not repeating history. To do the same thing over and over again and expect a different result is insane. Now you're getting a diagnosis. You have a core belief that tells you not, you're not nothing. Now you're moving towards learned helplessness. Now you're moving towards depression. Now you're moving towards I can't do nothing, I'm a failure. Oh, and let's not forget, when you can't meet your basic needs, that's an issue right there within itself. When people don't have the financial stability that they require to live in this world, that's something. My money ain't free.
You know, why is it free?
What is the problem? I mean, we see what's contributing to this mental health. We see how all of these things are happening, and we turn a blind eye.
How do we say our people in our communities recognize these things, recognize this trauma? Reach out and touch. Pull somebody up.
What does that look like?
It looks scary to a lot of people, but it takes us to come out of our fear. This is Trevon Online. I'm sorry. It looks scary to a lot of people, especially a lot of older people. And I don't mean any offense by that, but it's really going to start with us having to be honest about what we're seeing, whether it's with ourselves or with other people. What is it that we're seeing? I mean, we only have one opposition, and that's to get different results. And then we have to be, you know, it starts with baby steps. We have to ask ourselves, are we making changes on our own? Are we doing all that we can do for ourselves? Are we being honest when we go to the doctor? Are we practicing, you know, self-cares, whatever things that get us out of a negative mindset? Are we continuously taking care of our own mental and doing all we're supposed to do, you know, to prevent those medications? Are we gentle with ourselves? You know, are we going in our doctor's office or our therapist's office all hostile and ready for them to put a diagnosis on us? That's the other thing. We have to go in there with almost, not tunnel vision, but an open mind. We're not going to want to hear everything they say, but we also have to be honest about what we're going through and are we really changing on our own before we get to them.
I can agree with Treva.
I was just about to, I was trying to remember your name. Sorry, I just got off work, had to get my dogs together.
That's okay.
But I'm a strong believer. Like, I'm not a big fan of medication. I'm not. I work in behavioral health. Well, I just resigned from behavioral health. I've seen the ins and outs of trial and error and all, you know, the depth of it. But I'm a firm believer in CBT, which is cognitive behavioral therapy, talk therapy, and really being accountable for, like, helping myself before I say something is not working or things like that. You talked about, are we dealing with traumas or are we dealing with mental illnesses? There's a gray area between there. A lot of our trauma is what steer us towards the unintentional behaviors or what the doctors say is PTSD, depression, schizo, all that. Like, traumas are what one of the causes that lead up to that, other than chemical imbalances. And the real thing is, yeah, we don't like hearing about our past. Certain things piss us off. Certain things make us angry. But that is a confirmation that we are not healed in that area. we still that sensitive, and it pulls in depression and anger and high blood pressure and all that. That's the area that we got to work a little bit harder on before them doctors tell us something that really ain't true. And I'm just speaking, and when I speak, I'm speaking from experience, my own personal experiences. I'm still working on, I'm learning a lot of behavior. But I know if I got control over it, 100% control over it, why not fix it the best way I can? If it's going to keep pissing me off, let's figure out how to heal in that area so we can be able to talk about it without being affected in a negative way.
That I can agree with. One must close one door before they open another door. See, that's
otherwise, you're going to feel like both doors are open at the same time.
Right. So if we're dealing with pain through issues and different things like that, okay, let's address the pain, see where it's coming from, how we can alleviate that and put a, you know, and just mark that off and say, okay, I'm done
with
that.
Correct.
I've processed it. This is what here, this did that, and this did what. Okay, that no longer affects me. Now what's the next move? So we go to the next
step. And it's one scenario. Yep, it's one scenario after another. And everybody's healing is going to be different. Everybody's timing is going to be different. There's no yes or no right and way, right or wrong way to what works for you and what works for them. It's one trauma at a time.
Right, and that's what it is. Everybody is different. Everybody is different, and everybody's emotional state of being is different. And so you cannot lump them all in one basket.
You know, I have to agree with you guys, but as we're having this discussion, I'm thinking about how we develop, right, and how trauma affects the brain, especially when you're a child and you're experiencing this trauma. This is the effect of a chemical imbalance. Can we agree on that? Can we agree that whatever emotions, reactions, or stimuli or experiences that a child feels during early childhood development affects the brain function for the rest of their life? And so this is how we get this difference, not to mention the DNA of the people involved in the generational DNA that comes to make you who you are today. This is why trauma affects everybody differently. This is why we have anxiety and panic disorders and post-traumatic stress disorders and personality and mood disorders, right? Did somebody just say my name?
I did. It was Stephanie.
Hey.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes.
Oh, no, what I was saying, LaWanda, said I absolutely agree. Hi, guys, it's Stephanie. When you're speaking of the traumatic and trauma experiences for children, I work with children, like a lot of ladies on the line, and I have been blessed enough to work with some of my students from the time they were born to 18 years of age. And knowing their families and working with them in school and out of school, you're absolutely right. Some of the things that occurred with the child that I was teaching and working with at 3 years old, I saw what that did to them at 16, at 11, as a young adult. And if you're dealing or been exposed to certain traumas and come from a family who may not deal with them or not even know that it's trauma, because sometimes families aren't aware that certain things are traumas, because this is also a cycle of life. And if you don't know any better, and this is what my mom went through, and this is what my grandmother went through, this is what the neighbors go through, that you often associate that just to life in general. So how do I know that I am going through a trauma? How do I know that certain things are triggers to me, because this is all I've known in life? And that also negates to the issues of when they're in school and they want to put our kids in medication. See, I see it from both sides. I don't always agree with medication, but every diagnosis, every issue, every trauma, every trigger is so personalized and different. I've been on the side as an educator finding that the counselors and the principals are for medicating the students because being a new teacher, I wasn't aware years ago, like, oh, they're getting money. So, no, you're not worried about the child. You're worried about what money we can bring into the system by saying so many children need A, B, C, and D. And then I see the children who come from specific families that have specific mental diagnoses where medication can help ease their pain, help ease their cognitive development so they can be the best individual they can and learn how to communicate and express themselves and things, different things of that nature at an early age, and it makes a difference. And sometimes you don't need the medication. I've also seen parents do the work when they're noticing their children acting out a certain, you know, reason, or this happens at a certain time. And I'm talking about doing the research to the point where, oh, they didn't need medication. I didn't know that my son was allergic to tomatoes. And his favorite little snack is tomatoes. So I'm noticing on the days that he has tomatoes, he's getting in more trouble at school because of whatever is tomatoes is throwing him off. It is so many different components. So just to say, oh, medication is not the way, may not be the way for you, but it doesn't mean it may not help for a different individual. As same with just not just giving up and not having any information today to know how to help a child, and often helping the child help the family as well. But I guarantee you that child didn't get this way by themselves. It's usually inherited or a learned behavior, like Treva had spoke and Ms. Lily had spoke about earlier. Those learned behaviors are rough. I'm 41 years old, and I'm still looking around like, okay, we're going to try again, you know, because it's hard for me. But the one thing about the psychology of a child is that what is embedded in them as an adult has been put in them and is now a part of their process 10 years and younger. When I work with children who are 8, 9, and 10, some of the things, my heart breaks, because some of these things, if they're not going to be in the right supportive situation, I see where it's going to go. And sometimes you almost have to wait to an adult and hopefully get in a different mind frame or circle to work through those issues that definitely could have been avoided or better supported at a young age.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
That's true, because once we start carrying into certain things, when we talk about cognitive behavior therapy and looking at the way things have been, the way you think, you also have to deal with reality therapy, because reality is, sometimes reality is their truth. So, you know, so when you look at their truth, how do you get them to look at the reality of the truth? You know,
come on now.
Like I said, for me, I was raised in an abusive home, alcoholic, watched all kinds of things go on, watched death, watched a lot of things. So how did I make it out? you have to go back to that spiritual component as well. And that family connection. Did it take an expert? What are professionals? See, that's what I'm saying. We put a lot of names to the professionals. Professional who? Professional what? Because back in the days, growing up, and even sometimes now, you know, the professional are those that love you enough to tell you the truth and let you look at reality and then help you process it through. See, medication sedates you. It numbs what it is that you need to get out. So by looking at the reality and say, we're going to walk you through the fire, but I'm going to walk through with you in that fear. So we have to get in to say, hey, your information is safe here. Let us help mm-hmm. you help yourself. Break down that wall, because you have a safe place here. Sometimes the demons that get entrapped inside, that get trapped inside of us, we try to figure it out within our own heads. And sometimes the voices they hear is the torment that they're trying to get away from and figure out a way to talk about it. But in the system, it's called schizophrenia. What is it? Just reasoning out loud. You know what I mean? Because sometimes we have to talk to ourselves and know what we're saying is coming out of our mouth, and we don't look crazy when we say it. So oftentimes for me, I don't know about anybody else. Before I even allow a person to come into my life, who are you? What can you help me do for my own self? you know, before I allow you in my life to, and the information I give you to be used against me, I need to know who you are. And I think that's where some of our problems come in at, that trust. Does it take a professional, a person with a degree, or a person that is professionally enough and spiritually aware and inclined to help those lift themselves up and be honest enough to say, you know what, I hear you. I know how you feel. I may not know everything you feel, but I'm somewhat feeling you. So what is your truth and what is your reality? Give me something that I can help you help yourself with. Oftentimes, that is not how people are looked at. They're not met with those challenges because I might not be mentally ill. I might just have a problem. I might just have an anxiety attack just for that moment. That don't mean I wake up with it every day. But we're often fed things, and it's reiterated several times, oh, you're mentally ill. You're depressed. You can't do this. You can't do that. You know, and the thing it is, as African Americans, yeah, we can do a lot of things. Because if you get up in the morning, you're able to put your shoes on and get dressed and whatever, you've made some decisions and pulled on that, tapped into that inner strength. And say, you know what, I got to do this for myself. I got to do this for my kids. So I might as well get up and start moving around. That's that inner strength right there. So that's my challenge with things, you know, for me. Like I said, been there, done that, did a lot of things and came out by the grace of God. You know, dealing with a mom with a fifth grade education, dealing with a dad with a third grade education, can't no professional, including myself, tap into those individuals that only look at me as a professional and not as a person with compassion or someone who's going to be honest and truthful to me about what I'm going through. Because some of the things that people have been diagnosed with, it doesn't have to last forever. But there are things that they can do to help themselves and help their family members. So, again, is it the mental illness? Is it that trauma you need to get past in order to see that there's a different path that you can take? Not saying don't take your medication. You can take whatever you want. That's on you. If the doctor prescribed it to you, evidently you told him something, he gave you something to help you deal with what you told him, because doctors only write a prescription to what you tell them. The symptoms that you done described, that's what they're going to write the script for.
And this is a fact. And I agree with you, and I have to say that prolonged trauma moves into a mental illness. Dealing with these things within yourself and not having a trusted person or not knowing that it's okay to get help and talk to someone who is a trusted person, please. Believe me, when I heard that you can get a therapist and you can talk to a therapist about things that are bothering you and that you're protected by confidentiality, please, that trumped every girlfriend, husband, every situation, because I knew that that was a relationship that would be unconditionally honest. And I knew I could be unconditionally honest as well in that relationship, because a lot of the times when people get upset with you, they throw things in your face. I mean, not everybody, but the immature people that we may have in our lives, they may throw that up in your face, and that may leave a bad taste in your mouth, and you might receive that differently because you have a relationship with this person that allows you to say, so-and-so said so-and-so to me, man, forget that. You know what I'm saying? But when your therapist, because I'm the type of therapist, I'm like you, Leona, I'm here for the reality. I'm not here to act like things are not happening. We have dissociated far too long. We need to get on track with what is actually happening so that we can actually do something about it. We can't treat something or help you with a problem when you don't even identify what the real problem is. Me, as a mental health professional, I can't help you when I don't know the truth. So if I'm going to give you the truth, you need to give me the truth, too, so you can make the progress you need to be making. Yes, we have a lot of adversities. Yes, those core beliefs that are formed at a very young age show up right now at 20, it show up at 30, it show up at 40. It shows up as long as you don't do nothing about it.
It show up when you mad. It show up quite often. And that's the thing. Like, we have to remember that it's not an overnight process. We have to provide ourselves with grace and patience. We have to remember, you know, if something comes up that usually triggers us, how did we handle this before? How did we calm ourselves down? What did we do to, you know, solidify the situation? Like, we have to remember these new behaviors quite often. Not, oh, I'm over that because it don't bother me today, but what if something else similar bothers you and it reminds you of that one situation? How did we handle it? So we have to remind ourselves that this is going to take time. It's going to take probably half the time that we done spent internalizing all these negative things being conditioned. It's quite often, like, you know, I'm learning so much on my own prior to meeting this group, so let me specify that. I'm learning so much on my own, but sometimes I feel like I'm fighting just as hard. Like, why I gotta fight so hard and I did the right thing last time, or I didn't react last time, or it didn't bother me the last time, and what's going on today? Why this bothering me? So I have to remind myself, like, you getting there. You know, your healing is getting better, or you good in that area, but you still got some work to do. Like, we can't just, you know, tell ourselves it's over, we good, because that's not the truth. Not so soon it's not. And we have to be okay with saying, hey, I made a mistake, but I'm going to fix it. The goal is to make less mistakes. The goal is to do this less and do this more. Like, we truly have to give ourselves grace and patience, because we are our biggest advocate. We are our biggest cheerleader. We are our strongest backbone before anybody, before we get on these lines on Saturday. Before we get up and call somebody to complain or to, you know, praise something. We are our own backbone in the process of making that decision. And we have to be mindful of that, as well as be honest.
And one thing that we have to understand, no matter what happens, we are survivors of whatever that has taken place in our lives, in our past. We are survivors. So just believing that, okay, we have come to accept what we can't change, but the bottom line is we can change what we don't like, or we can change the way we feel about things that have already come to pass, because we are a survivor. And it's like what you said, how you overcame it the first time, let me go back and use that same coping mechanism to overcome it this time. It is a process. It does take time. But you have to identify it, work through it, process it, and keep moving. Over time, the change will come, if you want it to come. You can't sit and wallow in it, but you can reach out and say, hey, this is how I'm feeling right about now. You got a listening ear. You may not can fix it, but you can listen. So that's all I'm saying. Change is a process. Dealing with trauma, yes. It's a process. It takes a moment to heal. Some people may not never heal, but they can put it and contain it in a way where it doesn't interfere with their daily lives. Mental illness, you know, where did it come from? Do you know the history of it? Is there a pattern of behavior in the family that you need to know? You need to research it. Go back and ask. You know, has anybody else dealt with these symptoms? Did my mama use it when I was a kid to get a check because she didn't want to work? You know, what is that reality? How does that look? You know, is this medication helping, or do I need to sell it to get me some money in my pocket? You know, reality is what it is. And the thing is, everybody that get a prescription don't always take it. So You know, just being honest with the people. I'm the type of person, if I'm going to be in your life for a minute or a second or whatever, I'm going to be truthful. I'm going to be truthful to you.
You know that.
If I can't give you the truth, hey, it don't even make sense for us to have a conversation. Because I'm not, I can talk to my own self, and they can think I'm schizophrenia if they want to. But if I got to lie to you, I might as well not talk to you.
That's
but
right.
If I'm going to try to help you help yourself, then let's give me the information that I need to help you process what it is that you want to deal with and want to confront. And that's one step
now,
at a time, one day at a time, one session at a time. It's up to you.
Exactly. I got to agree with both of you ladies, especially with the part of being mindful and the grace. And with Leola, as far as we're talking about getting out of our own way, being honest with ourselves, you know what you're doing, and you know why you're doing it. Let's stop this lying. Let's get out of this lying. This is a trauma response. It's a survival mechanism. It's a defense mechanism. And the other thing that I have to say about that is the unhealthy coping. And the need to get by. We have so many people operating in survival mode that these tactics and things that they did to get the medication and to get the free money, it comes back to bite them in the worst way. Where the things that you said you were dealing with somehow become your reality. And now you really need the help. I mean, that's what we are dealing with when we're trying to help people who are not trying to help themselves. So I think that this grassroots effort that we're putting together and the providing of a space for people to be able to speak their mind and have these conversations is going to be so important because at least then someone has showed up for them when they may have not ever been there before. And so it's going to be important to see what happens. I know I talk to people in the community all the time and I see the problems and I talk to them about the problems, but when I ask them, hey, so what are you ready to do? Or how do you want to take action? Or what kind of help do you need? A lot of the time, they don't even know what help looks like or what they need. So it's going to take an effort of taking our time and being patient with people because we already know this community does not trust. And they don't have a reason to because nobody ever gave them one. But listen, we're at the top of the hour. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back and finish up this discussion. I got a couple of other folks on the line who have not chimed in yet, and I'm wondering if they have anything they want to add to the discussion. And so we'll hear from the rest of the viewers, the listeners, right after this break.
I know you're asking today, how long will it take? Somebody's asking, how long will prejudice blind the visions of men? I come to say to you this afternoon, however difficult the moment,
yes, sir.
However frustrating the hour, it will not be long, because truth crushed earth will rise again.
Yes, sir.
How long? Not long.
Yes, sir.
Because no lie can live forever.
Yes, sir.
How long? Not long.
How long?
Yes, sir. Because you shall reap what you sow.
Yes, sir.
How long?
How
not long.
Long.
Truth forever on the scaffold, wrong forever on the throne.
Yes,
that scaffold sways the future.
Yes,
behind the dim unknown standeth God within the shadow, keeping watch above his own. How long? Not long. Because the arc of the moral universe is long, but it bends toward justice.
Yes,
how long?
Not
long.
Not long.
Because mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord.
Yes,
he's trampling out the village where the grapes of wrath are stored.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. He's loosed the fateful lightning of his terrible swift sword.
Yes,
his truth is marching on.
Yes, sir.
He has sounded forth the trumpet that shall never call retreat.
Peace,
he is sifting out the hearts of men before his judgment seat.
Yes,
oh, be swift, my soul, to answer him. Be jubilant, my feet. Our God is marching on.
Yeah.
Glory, hallelujah.
Yes, sir.
Glory, hallelujah.
While doing with a licensed professional counselor. Black Sister Talk groups discuss a monthly topic to increase self-care and unplug from the world virtually. Group costs $75 per month and includes paint by number art canvas, easel, and paint. All supplies will be shipped to you prior to the group, and a link will be provided through email. To enroll in the group, send an email to blacksistertalk@gmail.com or a DM to Black Sister Talk on Instagram with name and an expression of interest in art group, and we will provide you the rest of the details from there.
Whoa, did you see that? It's amazing how stress affects us all differently. When I'm feeling stressed, I just need to talk it out. But it wasn't always like that for me. Not until a friend told me to give therapy a try. Did you know that therapy provides you with a sounding board to make the best choice you can make? Or that therapy provides you with a space to deal with stressors? And that you decide the goals you want to work on? Or most importantly, that you are not crazy because you speak with a therapist or ask for help. Therapy can change your perspective. Be the change and break the cycle by reaching out to a licensed mental health professional at Lifting Individuals Forward Everyday Counseling Services. Check out their website, lift-ife.com, or give them a call at 414-830-3001 to book an appointment. They even have flexible office hours to fit your schedule because they're open from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday through Saturday. But don't take my word for it. Find out for yourself.
It sounds like you're tired of not being heard. If so, follow Black Sister Talk on Instagram and send us a DM with your thoughts. Or become a patron by going over to Patreon and adding Black Sister Talk. For my people that don't do social media, reach out to us at our email, blacksistertalk@gmail.com. Or join us on Saturdays from 3 to 5 p.m. Central Time by dialing 516-418-5674. We would love to hear from you. Remember, we do this for you so you can breathe. Breaking the stigma one conversation at a time.
Yes, 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 yes. Let's get back into it. My co-hosts on the line, they coming with straight fire this wonderful Saturday afternoon. And I just want to thank each and every one of you guys for chiming in and contributing to this discussion, because it's a very important discussion to be had, and one that has a lot of pieces to it that really need to be discussed. Because if we're really trying to help someone, we want to make sure we're coming off with the right approach, and we're also wanting to make sure that they understand that we understand what they're feeling. Being alone and having these things going on in your mind mentally can feel like a prison, especially when we know that we've been told you need to present a certain kind of way when you outside my home and you got to do this, that, and the other. So we develop a mask at a very young age that pretty much puts us in a position to say, this is what I am and this is what I have to be. But I'm here to let you know, no, if you're feeling like it's not right, then it's not right. And people out here want to help you with that. People want to help you be the best version of yourself. People want to validate what you're feeling so that those things that are being internalized can come out. Man, do you know how worry affects you? And long-term worry, do you know how your body physiologically is affected? Do you know how your muscles and tendons are stressed and restricted or constricted? Because every time you face that fear or that perceived fear or another situation that perceives fear, right, you respond the same way. I think Trigger brought a good point to say, hey, how did you handle it the last time? Because you can use some of those things that helped you in your past to help you in your present. The only thing I would say to that is sometimes the things that had helped in the past were negative things that were perceived as help and contributes to this dysfunction. So if you don't know how to change
being able to educate yourself and read books would be a way to make a change. Being able to go and get help and talk to someone else who has the knowledge can help you to make the change. But some of the problems in our community are things on a basic level where we have people who cannot read, who cannot write, who cannot articulate. No one has helped them, or some people have helped them and gave up on them. You understand what I'm saying? And so with that being said, some of these issues are not just easily solved. And so I want to know from you guys, hearing that this is going to take time to do, are you willing to commit the time that it's going to take to do it?
Hello?
Do you, hello?
Yes, ma'am.
Well, I know I got you that's going to be on top of this leak.
Hey,
Lulu,
so,
is
so,
you gonna
so,
be on top
so,
of this?
So listen to this. You played that song, you know, James Brown is back in my day. My mom loves him to death. But you played it for a reason. And I'm just trying to figure out the message that we are trying to get up out of this. Because I'm looking it up.
Y'all don't want to get me started.
But hold on a minute. James Brown said, we've been buked and we've been scorned. We've been treated bad, talked about. As just as sure you're born. But just as sure as it takes two eyes to make a pair, we can't quit until we get our shares. Now, we say that to say what? How do we get our share if we all medicated? Or if those that need to succeed in life continue to be medicated and go through life walking in the dark, not knowing who they are, how they got there, what they need to do, the benefits that they're reaping from the medication, the benefits that they're reaping from the therapist or not reaping from the therapist, how do we get them to where they need to be in order to get their share?
You know what, Leo?
Why do we
feel
that everybody,
why do we feel that everybody's
medicated? Where did that?
I said, well, everybody is not medicated who's going through the struggle. Everybody who has mental health are looking at things holistically, or mental health doesn't always equate medication.
Those who are medicated, we have to look at, because like I said, every time they fill a prescription, they ain't getting paid. The pharmaceutical and the doctor who wrote the prescription are getting paid. Now, if you're trying to change something or change the mindset, the thinking process, the healing and the processing of the trauma, of the mental illness, it's just educating them. My thing is we must educate first in order to medicate second. So if their medication is affecting them and they're reaping the benefits from the medication for those who aren't, and those who are willing to go through a process of the holistic healing process, and that's just dealing with things naturally, or, you know, even like you said earlier about the food that people eat. People don't know that some of the food that they're eating is unhealthy and triggers certain things. But the thing it is, how do they get their share? How do we help them to understand that there are better things out there and better opportunities if you're willing to talk about and address the very things that are holding you back? That's all I'm
saying. So remember last week when we were talking about, like, parents being the child's, like, main teacher? Like, we as adults, you know, this is our weekend outlet here, this group here. We as adults, you know, now that we're going through learning curves, we have to be accountable as well, finding our resources, educating ourselves, whether it doesn't matter, whether it's something that crossed your mind throughout the week, we ain't talked about it on Saturday, like not only do we have to educate ourselves, we have to spread the – we have to, like, promote our resources, our good resources, whether they black therapists, male or female. Find out who we really have in our city who has the same passion that we have. Like, we ain't going to fix every human being right now, but if we network and we navigate and we start with ourselves, and even if it's something like bringing something new to the group or – you know, whatever, Miss, I keep wanting to call you Lolo, Lili, I'm sorry. Quiet. We have to continue, like, educating ourselves, working on ourselves, or, you know, still spreading the word. It's going to take a little time. It's going to take a little time, but, you know, you keep speaking, or you keep speaking towards medication. If you know people that are in that situation, they on medication. It's not what they want to be doing if they're not really benefiting from it. When we find the right therapist, somebody who's willing to sit and listen to them and get that mental a little bit more clear, we just got to spread the resources and spread the word and just be patient with ourselves and the community. Like, it's not going to happen overnight, but the more we do and the more networking we do and the more ambitious people that we find that's on this same mission, we'll be able to change lives. Some people, I don't never like to say it's too late. They may be too far gone on medication, and that's different. But everybody can find a therapist. We have more than enough black therapists in the city of Milwaukee. We just got to spread the word. A lot of us just need a support group. You know, we don't have family. We don't have friends. You know, or whatever. We need somebody to go and talk to, not just get our meds filled every 30 days because the doctor said we need them. Well, what if I tapered off my meds and I've been fine?
And you said,
you know, like you said, what if it's every now and then when you trigger? We just got to find the right people to talk to and then get people in those routes that way.
I agree with you, Treva, and I would say that finding people who are competent enough to ask the right questions, go above and beyond the questioning that is usually done. As a therapist, my number one thing is to be curious, to ask more questions. Oh, you ask too many questions, some may say, but I'm really trying to understand that thing. I'm the type of person that work a thing in and work a thing out. And so in order to do that, we have to be okay with answering questions. We have to be okay with not being defensive as a person who is being asked the questions of. Okay, Leola, the reason why I played that song is for the point that you brought up. How do we get our share? How do we get these people to their share? Well, we first have to give these people some hope. My number one thing with CBT and everything that I do as a therapist is building confidence. If you don't have no confidence, you don't have no hope, and you're not motivated to try new things. So we have to go to the basics and build people up, because when we see this 35 or this 45 or this 25 or whatever age this person is, we're looking at wherever that trauma happens, that's what we treat. That's where we got to start. Even if you're 35 and you need a job and you need to do this and this and that, we treating the inner child, we treating wherever that trauma came from. And we got to rewire you from there moving forward and treat every other developmental stage in this person's life, because they did not experience that in a healthy way. So we're going to deal with a lot of immaturities and a lot of challenges along the way. That is to be understood out the gate. So how do we get their share? We build these people up. Once we can build you up and get you doing basic things, now we can educate you. See, everybody wants to talk about getting the Black Wall Street back. Oh, everybody wants that. Oh, I want that so bad. How do we get that? How do we get that? Well, first of all, everybody's so busy trying to build it for themselves. That's the first problem.
We got to think outside the box instead of just about ourselves. We have to think about the community, like, as, you know, being united. It ain't just about, and that's the other thing, like us as a culture, as a black culture, we were conditioned to believe it's just you in the world, just you as a person, and that's how we operate. That's how we operate, whether it's running a business, whether it's, oh, I loaned you something, let me borrow. We are probably one of, like, the number one race and culture that do not protect itself and each other. We don't invest in each other. We barely share. We don't open businesses together. Not everybody, majority. You see other races and cultures, they done bought a building, 5 people, 6, 8 people live in the house. They helping each other. They done bought 3 gas stations between 2 blocks and around the corner. They got a smoke shop and everything. Like, we just letting them come over here and take everything. They already done put in our face that, hey, we going to take it, but we keep letting them take it. They done took our mental. They done put everything we done put out on this earth as black people, they have taken. They try to take credibility for everything. All we have is our voice and then our action. That's all we have left.
And why do you think that is? Why?
Because we left it. We've been conditioned.
So...
And it's not intentional, like we don't know. We've been conditioned. Generational curses after curse after curse after generation. We have been conditioned.
How do we begin to break the curse and give people the hope against hope, to believe in their strength, to believe in that inner spirit, to believe in the ancestors that's left something behind to treasure? How do we give the people the belief that they are strong, that they are resilient people, that mental health comes, mental health is there, but through it all, our people and our ancestors.
But we don't have to live
fault,
in it.
So we can
I
get
agree.
To a certain point in life.
We have to believe it ourselves as individuals, regardless of the age group or the age gap, whether it's me in my 30s or you of your age. We have to truly believe it. Do we believe it every day that we make a change for ourselves? Do we believe that every positive change is leaving a positive impact on ourselves? We got to start believing it for ourselves before we can try to encourage somebody else to believe, because when we show up for them, we got to stay showing up for them.
Exactly.
They show up now in the first couple. We got to keep showing up. And I'm just speaking, I keep saying I speak of experience. I'm truly, like, all of what we talk about and go through, I'm living, I'm trying to turn around. I've always been fearless, but I think this is probably the most fearless I've ever been in my life. We got to start with ourselves, whether it is journaling every day. If we feel like we got to wait till Saturday, we can start having smaller little chats or groups, you know, if Miss LaWanda is not available or whatever. Like, if she your therapist, who's going to be ours? Well, we can't be each other's therapist. Why we can't help each other? It doesn't matter about the age. We could, we all need different sets of eyes on different situations. Like, we can start with
each other, and that is true. Everyone needs to help the other. Now, my thing is, I think we've all come together on this phone. I can't say about everybody, but on this conversation, that you have to have a belief that you are capable and able to help someone else because of life experiences. So the belief is there. You're standing on that. Now, you take that belief that you have because you have overcome the obstacles that you've run into in your life. Now, how do you take that to other people? Because just by you being on this phone and your willingness and your observation and understanding of what you've gone through already, you're already fighting the battle and the willingness to help somebody else. So how do you cross that line in order to put what you know and what you believe and the experience that you've gathered, how do you help someone else understand what they need to do for self by using the cognitive behavior, reality therapy, being mindful of where you were,
and learning how
you're going to get from point A to point B? You know, how do we take that and put it all in the pot and say, hey, this is what we're going to do.
Side by side.
If we got to hold their hand, like, as we move forward as an organization, And everything that we do, as, you know, things grow, we meet people. We're not meeting them just to find out their problems. We also meeting them to find out what makes them happy.
Exactly.
Now, how can we find a medium between that problem and making them happy? Like, we got to engage. We got to get deep. Whatever our services are going to be, we got to find out who they really are and bring that person back. And if that's their happy space, that's what we're there for. So when we show up for us, we ain't show, like for them, we not just saying, yeah, we overcame it. We want to see who they are and what they coming with so we can bring out to them and show them how they can overcome it and whichever ways work for them.
I would like
you
to
know
sign
what,
in.
Treva, let me just, okay, wait a minute, Ms. Lynn, let me just get this out real quick. Treva, what I have to say
what
to
I
you
do.
Is, you, nope, you ain't do nothing. You ain't do nothing. What you did was you made me remember something. I asked one of my clients something so simple. So it's not magic. It could be the very small things here. The fact that I asked the man, thank God it was a man who's in therapy. Come on, black men, let's get in therapy. Let's get some help.
Come on.
We got a lot of healing to do with that, with our black men. But you had to hear how high-pitched his voice got when I asked him what made him happy. He couldn't even answer the question. He was so shocked because nobody has asked you what makes you happy. How many times do we see children who don't get engagement from their parents? How many kids don't sit down at the table with their parents to eat dinner? When do they have an opportunity to learn and grow and experience these things? And that transfers over into everything you do. The way you act then is how you use and mature because of the lack of exposure. So how do we do this, Lily? We expose them. We go ahead and we hit the streets just like these people hit the streets. 2-1-1, they hit the streets to go help the homeless. I'm hitting the streets to knock on these doors and help those who are mentally ill or who have experienced trauma or who is having a bad day, because we want to get to you before it becomes a pattern of repetition. That is what we have to do. That's why I'm asking everybody who's on this line right now, yes, please do call that number. Please do call the number. I will give the number out again at the end of the show. But call that number if you're serious, because we need a team. This ain't going to be no work I done got paid for. Do you know how much free work I do as a mental health therapist to people who don't have the money to get your services? We have to reach out and help those people so they can go ahead and get what they need to take care of their children, take care of their families, but also, most importantly, take care of themselves. Start showing up for you in the morning. Don't need no excuse, oh, I got to pay this bill. No, show up because you want to show up, and it's going to make you happy. Otherwise, let's figure out what is going to make you happy, because you're showing up for nothing. And you putting on a mask. And now you're
and if you don't show up for yourself, we can't show up for them.
Exactly. Now, Ms. Lamy, I know you have something you want to say, so I'm going to shut up and I'm going to let you say what you got to say, because we got a half an hour, you guys, and I want to make sure everybody gets to share.
Thank you, Ms. Chambers. I've just been listening, sitting back listening. I think everything that's being said is important. It's very important. It's a platform that what we want to see in our as a resolution to this problem. But how do we deprogram our people that have been programmed for so long to get to that point? How do we establish credibility into the gatekeepers that is holding the pocketbook for the money that provide these services? Because you know there's a disparity in the services that we have people of color that receive versus people that are not our color receive. So how do we get them to buy into this as well? Because that's going to be important in order to provide services for people based on the services that they need. So how do we do that? Because we have a lot of deprogramming within the millennials, within people at my age, people that are the baby boomers. There's a lot of deprogramming because they have lost credibility in the people that make the decision when it comes to their health and services that they need. So how do we get that? The team is going to be important, but everybody is not going to be like-minded like us that are going to walk in this team. to somebody in our own race, and I have to be honest about it. It's like, oh, what's the need for it? What's the purpose? Nothing is going to change. So then you fighting a losing battle because of that. So we got to look at the other important pieces before we get to the resolution of what we want the outcome to be in order to get there. And I know it's not going to happen overnight. I know everything that you guys are saying on here, Ms. Therese, everything that you're saying, but everybody don't think that way. They don't. They really don't. And we have to be honest. We have to have some honesty in this situation. It's a needed discussion. It's a very needed services for our people because we are suffering the most. And how we get our fair share, we got to start in other areas by undoing some stuff and unprogramming some things and getting people to buy in order to get that share. If they don't buy in or want to give us our share, then we're just turning in circles. We're going in circles, and it's not helping the situation.
Can we just focus on trying and worry about what will possibly help the situation? Like, I know it's hard. It's we got to be realists about it. I understand that. But if we keep thinking, like, not necessarily negative, but we keep focusing on what won't, we don't want to lose hope as a group trying to figure out what will. Like, we got to, even if we truly believe that we're going to be going in circles, let's just go in them circles and see what happens.
Well, our people have lost hope. How do we get that back for them? Because no matter what we say to them, that's their own personal belief. That's their own personal stance on this. How do we provide that hope back to them in order to show what we are trying to do is going to benefit them? We cannot sweep that under the rug because people have lost hope. They've lost hope in the system. They've lost hope in the people that provide their services. They've lost hope in everything. So, therefore, you see a lot of chaos that's going on now. So how do we get them back? Like I said, we have to do a lot of unprogramming here. Before we, and I'm not saying that what you're saying is not the right way that we should go, but we got to do a lot of stuff on the front end before we can get to that. It's kind of like you putting the horse before the cart. You cannot do that. Because a lot of this stuff has been systematically programmed into our people. So we have to deprogram them to let them know that, hey, nobody's going to come to our rescue. We're going to have to get what we need to get. Here's a team of people that's going to help us and going to fight for us and with us. You know, how about give this a try? But we got to do a lot of work in the forefront before we can get there.
I would agree with you. I understand the passion that's on the line because this is why we're here. We want to do something different. And so with that being said, you know, hearing you guys talk about it, a big issue that hardly ever gets addressed is the fact that we have an identity crisis. Let's not forget that. When the pandemic first started, Ms. Leola and I, and Dr. Rogers, we started the Harriet Tubman Institute, and we had Saturday schools where we taught children and families about their history. I mean, if we really want to address the things that are going on, we really have to address the things that are going on, and that's everything. I mean, this is a very provocative situation, and things are going to be talked about. We're going to have to address the incest. We're going to have to address where that started and how it became to be. We got to address the dysfunction. We got to address the drugs and the alcoholism. We got to address the real issues. These people need real help. Do you understand? We got to address the prostitution. We got to address the trauma bonding.
We got to address a lot. Incest, family rape,
okay.
Violence. Domestic violence. We gotta encourage these women and get them to believe that they're more than selling their bodies and being beat off. Like, it's so much, but we have to target our we have to target our audience as well as somewhat like separate them, because I mean we got different age groups: kids, adolescents, young adults, and older adults, and things like that. So we have to figure out addressing everybody, I guess, age appropriately, or you get what I'm saying? Like that's probably where I don't really know how to break it down, but.
Help you right. We do have to address it.
I don't really know, but we got
to
start
in categories.
I mean, categories.
And we need to have further resources. And so the reason I'm saying this all, Trevor, is because when we're knocking out on doors and you're going into the community, every house ain't going to be like the last. You might hit this house and there ain't got nothing going on. You know, you might hear this one, and when you walk, they open the door, you hear the music booming and bumping, somebody going out to the door smoking a blunt. You going to knock on this door, and it's going to be an old lady who in there who needs somebody to come over there and be a caregiver. So it's going to take a brother being knowledgeable and helping people to become comfortable enough where they can trust the resources that are available. That is one thing. Another thing is, like I said, offering a safe space for people to be able to come and build that trust and hear from other people that look like them what is available. Because, no, I don't think we are that one-stop shop and we're going to be able to address everything. But the problem here, to get these people to some help, they got to get some hope and they got to get some trust. We can't solve all the problems, but we can give you some hope, we can give you some trust, and we can guide you along the way towards what resources you're going to need. Now, the responsibility is upon these resources, and so now the responsibility is upon us to choose the right resources to connect folks with. Because if we're giving them trust and they go to a system or a program that doesn't follow through on what standards we have put forth, now we have some dissonance. Now we have, I was looking for that one thing, a reason to give up. Because that's easy to do. So what I'm saying is, if we're really going to have this discussion, and what really needs to happen is the organization of an MCO, and that's a managed care organization, where these things are being addressed in a way that it needs to be addressed. And so what I'm saying is, if it's our people, we need to be the ones that's going in there helping our people. Because we understand our people.
So I want to ask a question. Where are you going to find the people? I mean, every day. I mean, I work in the school system, and I see parents, and I hear where the little girl been messing with the boyfriend, and she's tripping. And, I mean, I've been facing this for a long time, seeing it happen over and over and over and over. So where do we get the people? We're talking about these people, but where do we get them from?
Oh, Lulu, I'm glad you asked that. So, Lily, I believe, Lulu, last week, Lily and I, y'all going to be so confused, Lucille and Leola, let me use the name. I hope that helps everybody else with keeping up, because those are my nicknames, so y'all ain't earned that yet. But another story for another day.
We just want to be like you when we grow up.
About, y'all already made it in my book, okay? We're all co-hosts on this show, so we have all the rides, okay? And what I have to say to Lucille is Leola and I was talking about 53206. Am I correct, Leola?
Yes.
Okay. And so what happened last week, Lucille, while you were on a much-needed break, right? But Lucille's on a much-needed break last week. We were talking about how the park name was changed in this neighborhood, which was such a historical moment, and it did not get shed light upon in the way it should have. The community did not know about it. It wasn't on social media. I'm not going to act like other things have not been going on at this time, because we had violence going on. We were also talking about Major Harris during that show. And so we were just discussing
I heard
the violence.
I really did. I heard all of it.
So 53206, Lulu, to answer your question. 53206 is the neighborhood that we're going to target, and we're going to do a needs assessment, and we want to do a grassroots effort so we can get these people somewhere to go and find out what their needs. Because this crime is ridiculous, and the mental health that is happening in these neighborhoods is just outside out of mind.
Mm-hmm. And the Kia boys don't help the situation taking people's cars.
Ooh, and how about they got Kia girls, too? And the induction process is a hoot and a holler. I'm just like, we have to help our young ladies because they out here bobbing for apples and things. I'm going to use a nice way to say what it really is. If you real... now, I ain't going to say the word smart, but if you could understand what I mean by bottoms to apples and you are an adult, then you can imagine what I'm saying. But our young women are doing that to join this group of Kia boys.
Mm-hmm. I know, because I got a couple of them at the school. And my thing is that it is so huge. This problem is huge. And that 5-year-old, starting in 06, it's a great one because that's the one I started back 25 years ago. This is not new. And in mental health and trying to get the information out in the community, working with the health department, the mental health department, and working with the syphilis that was out at that time and hitting that area pretty hard. It's a lot of things. It's so much. But when we finish with all of this, how do we got to give them people a hope, because when I was doing GED in that area, I had mothers, because we were paying the women. The mothers would come and pick up the check for them. They wanted the money because they're living a lifestyle. This is going to be a tough nut to crack. I'm not kidding. But if you don't have anything to offer them at the end of the rainbow and help them to go there, it's going to continue. Come about this muck and marrow play. It's really
exactly, Miss Lucille, and that's what I'm saying. That's exactly what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm. I know what you're saying, but we gotta have some hope ourselves if we're gonna jump into this issue because it ain't gonna be easy now. We can't expect nothing being easy.
Look, I have hope, but to get that hope in our people. That's the challenge there.
Because you know what? They'll turn around. A lot of black women turned on me when I went in dealing with the second chance pregnancy to help them. And they go talk about, oh, you're bringing these white folks in here. It wasn't. I'm black. But you're cutting me down because I'm telling you what's happening. Right now, your daughters won't go to college. They're going to be, this is now, they're having kids now. They're not making anything for themselves. There's no jobs for them, and they become a waitress, and they work or a bartender. They make crumbs. See, this is politically, this is bigger than just that. We got to go. Like she said, Miss Laney said, in the front end, the aldermen and all these people who are this conservative town that keeps their thumb on people's necks. It's big.
Well,
that's
we
what I'm
the people going to ignite some change in them, and we have to hold those accountable, and that comes with educating ourselves and involving those who understand how this system works. So I'm not against, like I said, this is not a silo. This is going to require all hands on deck. I mean, we got all in this publicity when George Floyd had a knee on his neck. All Black Lives Matter was an agenda, and everybody was ready to make some changes and donate to these community efforts. And now the momentum has simmered.
And you know why?
To go back to surviving.
But you know
why? But do you know why, Ms. Chambers?
Yeah.
Ms. Chambers, do you know why? That's that program I'm talking about. They have used other things after George Floyd to distract us.
Right.
And we contributed to the distraction ourselves when we go out here and hurt and harm one another. So we have to take some responsibility right along with what is happening, because this is why it's happening, and nobody is standing up for what is right. And those who are standing up for what is right is not getting the support that is needed.
So, in other words, just like you form these committees, it's going to have to be a political committee that deal with that end, one going out there dealing with the people. It's going to be, it got to be a multifaceted situation that when the committee comes together and everybody brings back their reports to go shoot at this one area here. Because, you know what, you try to talk to these children right now, their minds are all over the place. Their parents' minds are all over the place. You talk to them, they're going to defend their kid, knowing they got that kid sitting out in front of their house. Had a lady call my sister who was working. She was crying. Her son was in jail. He stole a kid. They caught him. And then he called and got mad at the police because they didn't deal with the COVID situation. But I've been dealing with COVID before then. I'm saying this is multifaceted layers of garbage. And we're going to have a multifaceted layer of people to deal with every area. And we need enough people to do that. We need enough.
How do we go ahead and disperse that? Everybody that's on the call and involved in the mission need to go out now and reach 3 to 5 more people. And we need to continue to do that on a consistent effort, reaching out to these people and getting people involved, because this is bigger than me. Bigger than everybody on this line. So let's do the work. Let's ask for
and
help,
you know what?
And model the behavior we want them to do.
And you know what? Reggie Moore, the violence prevention, and they got that. There's people in the city that when they call and they're doing, they got those pastors that go out when something happened to talk to the people. All these people are doing and working in separate pieces. So we have to form a letter for, and we got to do the groundwork that when we send it out and ask and say, well, we want to come together to help this here. No one person has the answer. That's the problem. No one person, no one group, but they have somebody out there for all of these. Because I learned that when I was trying to get mental health into 5306 and 08, but the people, they are ashamed. Some of the things, I know the schizophrenic, we know the drinking. I mean, this has been an ongoing battle, ongoing. But if we don't have something to connect them with one by one to give them hope, just like when I say, you know what, I'm tired of some of these things, because when I get to a person, I used to help young ladies coming out of prison, and they would call and want more. I need you to get a job. They ain't ready to work because they don't have a mentality for it. But they got to take, give me, give me, give me. But we got to change in some areas when we're talking to these people to say, look, what is it that you want most out of life? Because we can't tell them what they want. But what is it that you want, and how do you want to go and get it?
Mm-hmm.
And that's where some of it's going to start from. And if it is mental illness, let them tell us that. I'm having a problem. I keep going through this here. If it's money, we got something for that now, too. We got something for everything. But we got to talk to them. We got to talk to them. Doing things differently.
And that's where it comes to, like, us learning our resources as individuals and sharing them, whether it's on Saturday or bringing them, you know, whatever. You know, as we learn resources, and if we're not really sure, say 100% legit, or we want a second thought, I'm sure there are people on this call who have a little bit more in-depth background of behavioral health and things like that. We can kind of maybe make a parking lot to say, hey, let's throw these over here and, you know, kind of see, you know, how we feel about them. But we have to know our resources, good resources.
And you know what?
Because
I was putting together one for our church, because churches get a lot of people. We need to first 211. We need to get all the resources. resources and everybody and pull it together. And then section it off. So when we go to people, we can tell them that if the resource is no longer available,
and on some Halloween, so I'm supposed to be going somewhere else.
But anyway, I said I was finished. But anyway,
what you were saying?
No, I was saying the resources. One of the things is that we do have to, there's 211. Right now, I got a family here in the house that I'm with because of living situation, boyfriend. They got no place to go. They got no refrigerator. They got no stove. You know, I told you last week, and you sent me that number.
My God, today. Okay.
See, okay, here's what I'm saying. We need the resources because the people, when they come and we can help them, we can open up and build a relationship to get down into it. It's like when I talk about my circles. And this is what they're made for people to come out with their, what's deep inside. And I have helped a lot of people, and people doing circles have helped a lot of people get on there because it's like it's what they need. No one can fix your situation. No one. You have to internally have to be willing to face it because it's time out for giving. It's time out for them purging and being, we're going to bring a service to them, but we got to get inside of their psyche to help them and their mind, the savvy, to find out how they want to go and get it. And if we find out they're on a losing tip, leave it alone and move on to the next person.
That's right. That's right, because I'm not giving nothing. First of all, let me let you know that now. And that comes with setting boundaries. Do you want the help or not? Are you tired of how things are going or not? Because change doesn't happen until you're tired or angry or uncomfortable. Are you comfortable like this? Do you know there's another way? Because what I'm telling you right now, let me be the change you want to see. Let me be an example. You see how I'm walking around with my head up high? Don't you want to experience that without having a mask on? That's the beauty of dealing with a Miss LaWanda Chambers, because I'm going to be myself no matter if I'm in the boardroom, if I'm at my job, if I'm with my client, whatever the case may be. I am fully comfortable with being my authentic self. I might be that. Wait a damn minute. You'll be like, what? Excuse me? That's not how somebody – no, I'm going to act how I'm supposed to act at all times. And if you don't want to deal with a genuine person that is authentic and going to tell you like it is, then don't come over here because I'm not here for the pretending. And when I knock on that door and we're talking, I'm going to call a spade, and you're going to respect that because somebody has seen you for who you are and what it is. And I'm also going to see that spade as a diamond and let you know how you're going to shine and what you got to do to shine. See, that's the reality, being real with these people. I don't got nothing to give you. Ain't nobody had nothing to give me, but I'm going to show you how to make a way for yourself, and you'll be able to continue to sustain that living. We're trying to educate these people in ways that they have never been taught. We have women out here who don't know how to wash their bodies properly, but they out here having sex and breeding disease. You know, we have people out here that's having some real issues. And so, yes, it's going to require some consistency. Yeah, you're going to have some days you're pissed off and irritated. Yes, you're human too. We all having a human experience. And so I will not turn a blind eye. I will not walk around here and contribute to this bystander effect. I will not sit up here and not see the change that I want to see in you by not asking you if you need some help. If I see something right, and I'm not trying to be judgmental, because some things is just real. Kids shouldn't be abused. It's common sense. That's it. Am I passing judgment, or am I telling you this is right and wrong because this is the law of the land? Or these are our personal bill of rights that tell us this is how we're supposed to function and live in a community with each other, social standards, right? So we got to address that, and we got to be able to say something to these people when we see it. Kids walking down the street in the winter with no coat on. Don't judge them. Help them folks. That's your neighbor. Do you know him?
Yeah.
It's the one that I got a question. I'm sorry, but I had to ask. We have all these ideas. I think that, and we may have spoken on this. I probably missed it in the beginning of the call. all these ideas and things we want to do, I think that we also have to figure out our line and our boundary, especially with children involved, because in the event, we knocking on doors because we want to save the world, but in the event we knock on a door and a kid is crying for help and need to get out, like, we have to have, we talked about resources and having, you know, resources for people, but, like, it's boundaries, you know, because the last thing we need is for a kid to answer a door trying to get out or get away. Like, what do we do? Like, we got to figure out a plan for the work. You get what I'm saying? Because these neighborhoods, we never know what's going to come to the door.
Right. And to add on that, we're going to have to plead the blood of Jesus over us when we go and knocking on these doors.
Nobody's protecting us.
No, ain't nobody protecting us. And everybody walks around with weapons and what have you. And, you know, so we got to first take Jesus with us, ask God to form this thing that we need in order for it to be a success, because anytime he manifests something, it's going to work. And then got to plead the blood of Jesus over us, because we're putting ourselves on the forefront to help our people. So you're going to get somebody that a kid might be doing this here. And then on top of that, you don't want, you know, no repercussions from the mamas or whoever to come and, you know, try to do things that's not what we're trying to do. So I agree with you on that. We got to put some filters in place, so to speak, that's going to address those needs and issues should they occur.
I was going to say, because I've been faced with a gun in my face out here, because I've been doing this kind of work for a long time, and I had to talk that man down. Do you understand what I'm saying? So a lot of people are fearful of going in there, because now, that was back 25 years ago. Now we have children out here that don't care, and they'll shoot it just because. And I've worked with the gangs, too. So one of the things I would like to suggest is that we have enough kids that are involved in the prison system that when they come back, they become a revolving door. And I've been talking about that. I did a paper on it. That's one area you can start at, and they are from that area. And that way you can get a hold to the parents and work with those families. Because going cold turkey, you got to have a lot of strength, a lot of strength. Because I done walked up in blood houses, blood traveling all the way up. Somebody been shot. I mean, Garfield, all up in there. My whole area was the 5, 3, 2, 6, and 8, and 12. And I did it alone. But I'm going to tell you, it's worse now. And it's a good idea, but we need to go through the system to find out the people that are up in Oregon, the fathers that are there, and talk to them and get these people and work through them. WCS, they're dealing with a lot of crazy mental illness stuff like that, and the families at the wit's end. I mean, I've had girls tell me, like, they was raped 5 or 6 times. That good girl who, it was on the news. I actually worked with that girl, and she was like, her whole family raped her. All the men in her family raped her, and then she went and took that little 12-year-old girl and started doing it for her. There's a lot, and I could read all these people's stuff since I worked in the system. Like with parole, I could read all their backgrounds and stuff, but some of it is in there. It's a lie, because I knew some of these people. So my whole thing is that I wouldn't suggest just straight going out knocking on the doors, because just like the little girl got shot, the 23-year-old, because she had a relationship, got a baby by another man.
We got 1 minute left, Lulu.
And they shot her. So we need to look at, we need to talk about this and how we're going to go about it.
Well,
so
listen, I got this to say before the show is over. If you're interested in meeting on Wednesday from 8 to 9 p.m. for a Zoom meeting, please do follow up with the call to 414-775-2677. 414-775-2677. And the word that I have for you guys as we close out today is understanding the role fear plays in your ability to be in control and trust in the things that you do. I love you all. I hope to see you next week on Black Sister Talk as we continue to have these candid conversations. And I want you to have a fantastic rest of your day and week.
Okay.
It sounds like you're tired of not being heard. If so, follow Black Sister Talk on Instagram and send us a DM with your thoughts. Or become a patron by going over to Patreon and adding Black Sister Talk. For my people that don't do social media, reach out to us at our email, blacksistertalk@gmail.com. Or join us on Saturdays from 3 to 5 p.m. Central Time by dialing 516-418-5674. We would love to hear from you. Remember, we do this for you so you can breathe, breaking the stigma one conversation at a time.